This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks, Pete. 15 minutes from now, we'll make our Survivor picks for Week 8. No point spread. Just pick a team that is a lock to win. We're keeping score throughout the season, so we'll update these standings coming up as well. Right now, Mike Jones is on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. You know him from his work, USA Today Sports. Mike, let's start with Thursday Night Football. We've got a game to kick everything off tonight in the NFC South. No Christian McCaffrey for the Panthers as they play the Falcons. So I guess my question for Carolina would be, I have not yet got to watch a full game. I'm excited for tonight. I've seen plenty of bits and pieces of them this year. It seems like Matt Rhule's offense is good. It seems like Brady's done a nice job designing their passing game. Bridgewater's made some plays. Are they closer to being competitive than we thought they might be halfway through this year?
Yeah, I think so. We didn't really know, how things were going to really go as he installed his offense, his defense, what that transition for him going from the college game to the NFL game was going to be like. But it definitely looks like all of these guys have bought in. We see Teddy Bridgewater playing at a very high level. We see, young guys on both sides of the ball making plays. And so I feel like even though they've been without Christian McCaffrey for a little bit, they're still competitive. And I think that that's a testament to Rhule's leadership, the preparedness that these players have from him and his coaching staff, and guys like Teddy Bridgewater, who he was a backup for a couple of years once he got healthy, and now we're seeing him being able to blossom as a starter once again.
Mike, nobody's any good in the NFC East, we know that, but I think Philadelphia has sneaky played okay these last few weeks, losing a couple games that they've lost. There's no shame in losing to the Steelers and the Ravens, and I thought they were competitive in both of those games. But their schedule is tougher than Washington's. If it comes down to these two-legged horses that both have whooping cough, who's going to win this division?
I will go with Philadelphia just because of the fact that they've got a better quarterback. Look, their offensive line, they are, I think at one point they were on their sixth right tackle and their fifth right guard. They don't have the name guys at wide receiver like you thought they were going to have, but their defense, for the most part, has the key guys that they need. Yes, they've had some letdowns here and there, but yeah, I agree with you. It seems like guys are starting to grow into their roles. They're more comfortable, a little more confident. They just got to get Carson Wentz to play a little smarter. I think he feels like, look, I'm not working with a full deck here, and so I've got to try to compensate. And that's when he forces things and gets into trouble. So if he can become a little more disciplined, obviously he's got the talent. He can make all the throws, but he's just got to be a little smarter. And if he can do that, just learn to live to see another down, or just punt and get the ball back later on, they'll be much better off. And that's why I think that down the stretch, they probably will wind up squeezing this thing out by a nose.
Mike Jones, USA Today, on Grant and Danny. Let's go to the Washington side of things, though, in terms of just trying to compete. I mean, whether anyone wants to give their defense credit or not, it's a top 10 group so far. I don't know that they'll sustain that without Landon Collins and with a mess at safety, but that's where they are. They're getting, for whatever it's worth, better play at quarterback. They still only have Kyle Allen. It's not like someone who's a legitimate stud is walking through that door. Their offense seems to be trending up. They've got a soft schedule coming up. is there a path here for them, or should we not even think about that at this point?
Well, I mean, I think that they do have a chance because of that defense. You know, that defense always gives you a chance. Now, we'll see what happens on the back end now that they don't have Landon Collins. But still, when you can get after the quarterback and come at them in waves and have the depth that you have up front like they do, that helps out your back end, even if you kind of have, you know, some scrubs and some guys that are still developing at your cornerback and safety positions. Offensively, they've got to take care of the football. They've got to protect their quarterback. They don't have a whole lot as far as star power goes, and other than Terry McLaurin. But I think Logan Thomas is starting to grow into his role. Obviously, we see Gibson starting to do some good things. If Kyle Allen can just take care of the football, then they have a chance because they can play the field position game. But when he gets into the habit of trying to force things, you know, and that's the motto for every quarterback. You just got to know what that line between aggression and stupidity is. And so, you know, maybe for him, maybe he's learning and he can avoid some of the mistakes he did last year the more that he played.
At By Mike Jones on Twitter, NFL reporter, columnist, USA Today covering the foosballs. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, marquee matchup. I think both these teams are top five in the NFL. Pittsburgh has really shown something the last couple of weeks. I know Tennessee came back on them, but for three quarters plus, they dominated that football game. You know what Baltimore does to everybody that's not Kansas City. How do you see this matchup going?
I think that Baltimore is going to win this thing out, you know, narrowly. The couple things that concern me about Pittsburgh is they have not been able to put anybody away, really, you know, outside of Cleveland. But, you know, they have these lapses where all of a sudden their offense kind of goes into a lull. They have a couple lapses on defense where they'll give up some big plays. Now, they needed that game against the Titans went down to the wire, but I do also give the Titans credit for being just a good football team. That was two very good football teams. They hung on to win that thing. But I just feel like probably if I'm going to bet on a more sure thing, you know, I think it's Baltimore. Obviously, they've got to jump out and they've got to get a lead because when they have a lead, that makes all the difference in the world. They can run all of their stuff. They're not just getting into the straight drop back game. I'm really curious to see how Ndakwe does as he, you know, makes his debut, getting after the quarterback. It's already a good defense. Now it'll be even better. I just hope for their sake that by the trade deadline, they can add another wide receiver to the mix. Probably a crafty slot guy would be a good guy to help. And then this team is much more equipped to do some things. I'm not saying they're going to be able to hang with Kansas City, but they'll definitely be a little more well-rounded.
Jonesy, I pulled up the odds that I was sent. This is from one particular Bet Online sportsbook that I found. And I'm going to skip to the 25-1 or worse odds and just give you this group of teams. And I want you to pick me a Super Bowl winner here. All right, so these are none of the clubs that are most likely to win it. These are longer shots, but good teams. Rams, Bills, 49ers, Cardinals, Colts, Bears, Browns. Which of those teams in the 25-60-1 range jumps out at you as being able to potentially go on a magical run in the playoffs?
I think I would probably say the Rams because of their experience. They have a lot of those guys still. They've been to the Super Bowl. They know what it takes to get there. But at the same time, you can't sleep on the Cardinals. I think that they are continuing to grow each week. Kyler Murray is balling out, you know, really showing confidence, making some great plays. He was down twice by double digits last week, led them back. He beat Russell Wilson, who is, you know, leads the league in fourth quarter comebacks and game-winning drives, and he outplayed him down the stretch. So that team could be a dark horse, but I'll say the Rams for now just because of their experience.
Jonesy, NFL teams don't really rebuild. I think it's based on a million things, but I think a lot of it is the sort of lingering machismo and with a bunch of dinosaurs in charge who yell, you know, axioms about you play to win the game, and, you know, there's no such thing as tanking, even though it's just smart building for the future. Two teams that have done it are the Raiders and the Dolphins. They rebuilt. They traded away good players. They got a bunch of draft picks, and they're kind of going with their plans. I think it would do an awful lot if either one of these teams got good here, really good, legit good, within the next year or two. Where are we at on that and that kind of culture in the NFL?
Well, I mean, I think that, yeah, I do think, well, I mean, we haven't seen Tua play, but if he plays like we think he can if he's, you know, a left-handed Kyler Murray, maybe not as fast, not quite as much of a runner, but some type of blend between Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson. If that's like his ceiling, then that's fantastic. And then that gives you what you need. They've got young pieces, you know, on both sides of the ball that can continue to grow with him. And, yeah, the Raiders, I just, for some reason, I still cannot, I'm just not sure about Derek Carr and his ability to take that team to another level. He might be one of those guys that's always going to be a 9-7 quarterback. You know, and I think that they've had questions about him. You know, so we'll see how that plays out with them there. But I do agree with you that teams would just be smarter. And that was my thing with Washington, where all of a sudden they start talking about winning the division. Well, winning the division doesn't really help you if you don't have a top 10 pick. You guys need as many draft picks as you possibly can so that way you can rebuild this thing. As we've seen, teams like the Dolphins and the Raiders loaded up on a bunch of picks. Winning the division doesn't really help Washington for the long term. But I think if teams are willing to let young talent grow and take their lumps, and, you know, you can turn this thing around. It doesn't have to be 5 years. It could be 2 years, maybe 3 years, if you do it the right way with smart draft picks and free agent signings.
Mike Jones, USA Today, on Grant and Danny. Another couple of moments here on 106.7 The Fan. Are you traveling right now? Are you working from home? What game will you be at this weekend, if any?
It's kind of alternating. Some weeks I'm from home, some weeks I'm on the road. Have not done a whole lot of flying. I went to Kansas City. I will be at Baltimore this week. I was in Philly a couple weeks ago with the Eagles and the Ravens. Kind of somewhere I can drive. We don't have to worry about the game getting canceled when I'm in the city and then having to do a bunch of finagling. Hopefully, eventually, this thing will start to settle down and we can get back to normal travel type of schedule. But, yeah, I'll be at the Ravens and the Steelers game.
That'll be fun. That's a good one to go to. Jonesy, thank you as always, buddy. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you.
All right, be well, buddy. Stay safe. There's Mike Jones on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Our Survivor picks next. Who is a lock to win this week? We'll tell you on G&D. All you got to do is use the radio.com rewind function or go to thefandc.com. I want to tell you in a couple of minutes how you can bet against me and other hosts on Entercom. You can get in and try to win some money on our Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pick'em. But speaking of making picks, we got to make one right now, Danny. Survivor is the name of the game. So everyone's in a Survivor pool at this point. These are a blast. You start at the beginning of the year. You can't pick the same team twice. You've got to get the game right or you're eliminated. And the last picker standing wins either whatever money or bragging rights are on the line. So we don't really have anything on the line other than our pride. We've decided, the four of us on the show, myself, Danny, Thommy, and Dar, are going to pick teams each week, guaranteeing that they win, no point spread involved, and we'll see at the end of the season who gets eliminated the most. They're the loser. Who gets eliminated the least, they're the winner. So far this season, I'm 7-7. Danny and Dar are 6-1, and Thommy is 5-2. Those are your current standings as we get ready to make our Survivor picks. So, Danny, how do we do this? Who goes first? Who makes their pick right now?
You're the leader, and the leader has your honor, Your Honor. So go ahead, please. You can go ahead and go first.
I will do that. I picked the Chargers this past week. They gave me a little bit of a scare. The Jags were frisky in that game. Did you watch any of that game?
Yeah. It was back and forth a little bit, man.
Jacksonville was hanging around. They can move the ball. They can score. Their defense is terrible, and eventually Justin Herbert did whatever he wanted to that defense in the second half, and the Chargers pulled away. But I'm going to get cute for the first time, and that's a dumb idea, having gone 7-7. But I have pretty much decided that my strategy was, let's pick against the Jets. Whoever's playing the Jets, I'm riding with that team.
7-7.
I'm going to pick a bad team that I won't pick again after this week and start to strategize to keep teams like the Chiefs or the Saints around. So, this week, my Survivor pick, the 2-4-1 Philadelphia Eagles, as they play the 2-5 Dallas Cowboys. I'm thinking Ben DiNucci is going to be their starting quarterback on Sunday Night Football. I don't really know if that's the case. Perhaps it's Andy Dalton. If it is Dalton, I feel a little bit worse about my pick, to be honest with you. But I think somehow, some way, the Eagles find a way to win that game, and they get to 3-4-1. So give me the Eagles, Survivor Week 8.
I've been cute all season long, my friend. That's all I've done is try to save some of the best teams, knowing that I might take a couple hiccups and eliminations along the way. And I'm cute again this week. Took a picture, felt cute, might or might not delete later. I'm taking the same team. Foot up.
Are you really?
Man. That was my pick all along. I saw that initially. It was a three-point spread for Philadelphia. Now it looks like it is Benny the Nooch over here. 8.5 points. Philadelphia is way better than Dallas right now. Philadelphia's not good. I'm not ready to crown them, but they will win this football game. That's why they're my survivor pick for the week.
Guys, I don't know what you're doing. There's a layup on the board. It's the Chiefs. We can all lose eliminations. It's okay. Just take the Chiefs. Tommy's going to take the Chiefs. I almost guarantee it.
I'm saving them.
Dar would be right. I am taking the Chiefs. You guys are fading yourselves when you don't have to. Just like what I said last week when I rolled with, I believe it was the Bills last week. Adam Gase is the coach of the Jets. Once again, Adam Gase is the coach of the Jets. It seems like Adam Gase will be the coach for the entire year, and they'll probably handle him in the offseason. So, Grant, you had a strategy, you had a play, and you're somehow getting away from it when you don't have to.
It's true.
I know that it looks nice to have Ben DiNucci as the Cowboys quarterback, but to go with what Danny has been doing all year, the largest point spread on the board is what the Kansas City Chiefs are laying against the Jets. It's 19.5 if you look at DraftKings Sportsbook. 19.5.
It's an outrageous number.
And so Danny is fading himself there. You are fading yourself, Grant, and not picking against the Jets. Somehow we all have saved the Chiefs for this long. We were all saving them for a purpose, and now you guys are locking in other teams that aren't the Chiefs. I am going to roll with the Chiefs. Dar and I will roll with the Chiefs, and you guys might face elimination.
So I'm locking in on the Eagles for what we're doing on this show, but for the one survivor pool that I'm still alive in, and I had a few of them at the start of the year. In fact, one of them I got eliminated in the first week by picking the Colts to beat the Jaguars. But I'm still debating in that one pool what I'm going to do, Chiefs or Eagles. And Tommy may have just talked me into the Chiefs, because the point he makes, Danny, is there's a reason you haven't taken Kansas City yet. And ideally, it's probably because as you get later in the year and it gets a little harder to do this, you go with a really good team knowing they're going to win. There is no bigger, greater chance. There is no guarantee in football. This is the closest you'll ever get to a guarantee that you survive this week. So do you just take that automatic deposit cash money and move on to the next week? Why wouldn't you just take that cash money and move on to the next week? He's in my head a little bit about my other survivor pool. It's a good argument.
It makes good sense. And nobody's sitting here telling you that the Jets are going to beat Kansas City. So it's a very safe pick. And all these guys, the guys that took it, will get to move on. My point all along has been, because there's nothing on the line other than, as you said, pride, I want to have access to the Ravens, to the Steelers, to the Chiefs. The Titans presumably will be pretty good at the end of the season. I'm going to have access to all those teams in weeks 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, all the way to the end, and you guys are going to be scrounging. You guys are going to be doing the Eagles dance in week number 12 and 13. I'm cute the whole time. The best team that I've taken to this point has been the Bucks, and it now looks like they're really good, so maybe I wasted one of those, but I took them in week 2 when we didn't know they were any good after they lost to New Orleans. I've got nothing but just okay teams on my leisure.
If this was for money, if this was just less comfortable and you actually had to have, you know, something on the line, would you still do it the same way, or would you play a little bit more conservatively, survive in advance?
Survive in advance. You'd play it a little safer, I think. Okay. I mean, so my strategy, and I'm, by the way, I never win survivor pools.
I don't either. So, I'm terrible at them. Yeah. But I asked it selfishly.
Grant, you're 7-0 so far. This is the thing. You need to hold on to this. You're actually playing the game the way it's supposed to be played.
Right.
And you're not taking the easiest game on the board.
I definitely have run the ball like on 8 straight plays, and I'm at the 14-yard line, and now I'm just going to the air on first, second, and third down. Like, I'm not sticking with what's working here. I get that. But what about in the other pool, Danny? You're saying if you were me in that pool where there's substantial money on the line, and compared to this, you know, a couple $100 here or there or whatever, you would go with the Chiefs over the Eagles-Cowboys play?
I would. This is Hunger Games style. The odds are in your favor. In other words, if you do the math of it, okay, if you get like a statistician involved, the best chance to win each week gives you the best probability to win for the season. Does that make sense? Right? When you use the best opportunity you have, then you start compounding it. You go getting the thing in algebra 2 and precalculus, permutation, and the other types of things. Your best math works out if you take the best chance to win each week. The best chance to win this week is Kansas City.
Yeah, I think I might do that now because I had, as of right now, I had kind of clicked on the Eagles, but you guys have talked me into that. I think that's a good strategy. All right, but for the record, for the sake of this segment and what we do on the show, you and I are going Eagles. Tommy and Dar are going Chiefs, so they are definitely in a good spot. They are moving on, but they are burning Kansas City. Ron Rivera had a quote about Ryan Kerrigan that made some noise and got some traction yesterday. Is it him hinting at the fact that they may try to re-sign Ryan Kerrigan this offseason? Forget about the, you know, should they try to trade him, or will he be on the market, or is he on the trade block? I mean, might they be trying to keep him around for the next few years? I'll tell you what Rivera said next. Nikki Javala covers the Washington football team for the Post. Nikki Javala quoted Ron Rivera from his weekly interview on SiriusXM NFL Radio yesterday when he was asked about Ryan Kerrigan. Here's what he said. I'm going to read you his answer about Kerrigan, and I'll be honest with you, Danny, I don't know what the question was. I can guess that it was about trading him or his trade value and him not playing a whole lot this year. But I want to read this quote, and I want to see if you have a similar takeaway to what I did. Rivera on Kerrigan. I know it's tough because I know he wants to start. But you look at the young guys we have here, there's a role for him. This is the role. It's that you're going to get your spot chances, and when you get those spot chances, you got to make hay. And he does. And that's the thing that's been perfect about this, is when he's been popped out there and we've needed to come up, he has. That's the important thing, and that's the importance of having a vet that sits there and accepts the responsibility in the role. And by doing so, you got Chase Young and Montez Sweat, and they can sit there and admire the guy. First of all, they admire him because they watched him play when they were growing up. Second, they admire him for the type of leadership that he displays. Every day he goes out there, he practices the way you're supposed to. Even when he gets the chance to play, he's made hay. That's the important thing. And this is the last part here of this statement. He says, if a lot of guys in this league would recognize and realize the role that they have, these are serviceable roles. There are roles that you can play after your 10th, 11th year. You can play this role for 3, 4, 5 more years and be a guy that earns it. That's Ron Rivera on Ryan Kerrigan. When I read that initially, I took that as him saying, in the role we're giving Kerrigan, we're elongating his career. He can be productive for us doing what he's doing right now for another 4 or 5 years. Is that me reading too much between the lines, do you think?
That's definitely one interpretation. So I don't think you're reading between the lines at all. Or, well, actually you are, but you know what I mean? I don't think you're stretching.
Yeah, incorrectly.
In any way.
That's not basically saying that he is meaning something that he didn't, prescribing
yeah,
meaning that isn't
there.
There.
You're not off base there. Here was my interpretation when I saw that. He's not going to play more. You guys can be upset about it if you want to. We got a plan. We got a program.
Too.
We have an idea. This is it. So when the all-time franchise sack leader, which he is now, a guy that's done everything right at all times, a first-round pick in his own right, who's been really good, who's rapidly approaching 100 sacks, I'd like for him to get in the game and get some of those sacks. He would do it with his defense, this pass rush. You'd like to think that there are packages they could try it out there where he's on the field in addition to Chase Young and Montez Sweat, because those guys shouldn't be benched. They're playing really well. They're good football players. Maybe there's something to that. I don't know. The same way that on offense they figured out, even with this limited group, how to get McKissick and Gibson on the field at the exact same time, and that's their best offense because that's two of their three best offensive players. So that makes sense. Ryan Kerrigan is still, to me, one of their better defenders, and maybe that's just my nostalgia talking, but I'm not saying he's got to play 60, 70 snaps a game. More than 7, though, would stand to reason, right? I think there's a happy medium there where he's on the field, he's spelling guys, maybe he's doing something else. I don't know. But my takeaway was a little, I don't want to say negative, but more, I'm going to dress this up and call it something that it isn't. He is a back-of-the-roster bench player for us at this point.
So, first of all, I agree with that, and I hadn't thought of it. Because in my mind, I haven't necessarily voiced this, but subconsciously I've kind of been thinking all year, well, this is how much he's playing right now, but this isn't going to sustain itself. Eventually, he's going to start playing more. Well, why? This is seven games in. They're about halfway through. What's going to change all of a sudden? And even when guys get banged up and they're out, like Montez Sweat and the concussion protocol in the fourth quarter against Dallas this past week, he split time with Ryan Anderson. It wasn't like he was just on the field constantly like he used to be. So that's a good point, actually. That is one takeaway here. That is a realization, is that Ron Rivera is saying, this isn't just something where this is how it's worked out so far, and there's an ebb and a flow, and he's going to play a lot some weeks, and Sweat won't. No, they got Sweat, who's excellent. They got Young, who's excellent. And they view Kerrigan as the third best of those guys, and they want him to be very productive when he gets his chances. To his credit, he has. I think both are probably true and can be true. This doesn't change the fact that he's got value on the open market, though. When Peter King, who is still to this day as plugged in as anybody in the media when it comes to covering the NFL, says that he thinks Ryan Kerrigan would be one of the big steals, one of the big popular players on the trade market, it does mean something. Now, last I'd heard, nobody had called, nobody was checking in on him. But again, you either are aggressive in trying to move a player or you're not. And I don't think they're going to be aggressive in trying to move Kerrigan at all. I think they like him too much. I think they think he helps them, both on the field and off. And it seems to me, and I didn't really consider this because I thought, well, when this year ends, they've got so many young options. He makes too much money. You know, maybe they go their separate ways. With his contract expiring, I wouldn't be surprised if Ron Rivera doesn't go to him and say, hey, we want you here for the next 3 or 4 years. Here's a new deal. And he's not going to get the $11 and $12 million a year he's been making previously. But you look at Rivera bringing a guy like Thomas Davis in. He likes having those types of dudes in his building. And I think he'll want Kerrigan here for the next few seasons. I really believe that.
It's entirely plausible. I mean, again, this is about – I'm a broken record here. They started to do it with Scott McLuhan. McLuhan didn't have a great record of personnel evaluation. A lot more Matt Jones in there. A lot of Josh Doctson in there. You know, a lot of guys that weren't particularly good. A lot of Sua Cravens. I didn't care about that. Guys swing and miss. General manager swing and miss all the damn time. To me, it was about the culture that they were starting to establish. And it's just some random coincidence. They had their two best back-to-back seasons, which, by the way, says an awful lot that it was 9-7 and 8-7-1 over 2 years. But they had their best two seasons with McLuhan in charge. And, of course, they blew that up because, you know, nobody's allowed to be happy. And there's a million things that happen behind the scenes. But to me, the culture is the most important thing. Buy-in is the most important thing. So Rivera brought in a bunch of guys that are going to do the right thing. Thomas Davis played for basically a week and has now been a clapper. He's been making sure that everybody knows where they're supposed to line up, and he's been applauding while Pierre Lewis and Cole Holcomb have played and has done very well. But just a great locker room guy, great for the team. Kerrigan could absolutely be that if there's buy-in there. And if I'm Kerrigan, here's the choice. Uproot, move, go somewhere, make some more money, probably play more meaningful games, or I don't have to get a real estate agent. I don't have to sell anything. I know where all the roads go here. I got my favorite haunts, my favorite restaurants. My family's here.
Yeah, I'm married with two kids, by the way.
Go the Zimmerman route.
Yeah, I got two kids. I'm married, probably going to have more kids. I got a couple dogs. I got everything I need. I'm been here my whole career, over 10 years. I could do card shows and you know, be talked to on the radio for years and years and years. I mean, yeah, he could absolutely be that guy if he wants to be. But he can still play. We see that. It's got to be hard. And this is something where as just a fat zilch, I can never relate or try to put myself in the shoes of these players. But you got to have an ego about this. Like, you just have to. And he's got to be sitting there going, I play 7 snaps and I get a sack and a quarterback hit in those 7 snaps. Or I play 22 snaps and I had a 2-sack game and, you know, recovered another fumble with the game on the line or whatever. What could I do with my 38 or 45 or 52 snaps that I used to get? And maybe the juice isn't worth to squeeze him anymore. But if they're saying come back as our third guy and make $2.5 or $3 million a year, and someone else is trying to give you that Trent Murphy $8-9 million contract per season and tell you that you're probably going to start, I just think that'd be hard to turn down if I was him. Because remember, unlike you and I, it's not like this is home. This is now home to him.
It's become home,
It's become home, but at one point in time, you had another home, right? You could, like, Lorenzo Alexander is a great example. Zoe, Mr. Washington, D.C., right? In a lot of ways, has, I believe, still his family stays in Ashburn, at least part-time. But, like, he set up shop in Buffalo. He, I think at times when he was out in Arizona, if he's not there full-time now living, I think at one point he was. Like, you, things become home to you. He's got four places, I think, he calls home. Not to say that he's got houses in all those places, but I think he's really comfortable where he grew up in California. I bet he loves Phoenix. Buffalo, they took to him like we did here. He's a beloved figure there. Same in D.C. and Ashburn. So Kerrigan's that kind of guy. Nobody's got a negative word to say about him. So if he were to go sign and play his last few years in Green Bay, let's say, or in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan, like you spend 3 or 4 years there at the end of your career, I'll bet after 4 years you feel like you're pretty comfortable somewhere.
It's absolutely on the table. I mean, again, everybody's got – we always do this, right, where – you remember Adam Jones? I don't know why this popped into my mind, but he had earned his no-trade ability or trade veto ability through his years of service. And he's playing for a terrible team in the Orioles who are trying to rebuild, and they traded him away. And he said, no, I'm not going. And everybody was like, are you kidding? Don't you want to go play for a contender? Don't you want? And he was like, it's my business. I've earned that. And we always, you know, just sort of assume that we understand what a player wants or needs or feels. But there's a million reasons why you would or wouldn't want to go on it. And it's up to everybody. I mean, for me on paper, this is very simple. I would go, you know, if it came to it, right? Instead of accepting a lesser role and sort of asked to be a good soldier while my team probably loses a bunch of games. But again, it's up to the individual. And he's certainly earned the right to be able to make that choice for himself.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. If you've got a thought on this and want to hop in, we'd love to hear from you on the AAA Always On Call listener lines at 800-636-1067. And what got me thinking about that was just that Rivera quote. And again, while we read it, and we don't have the audio, it's from SiriusXM NFL radio interview we did yesterday. He's a regular with them, and he said that guys who accept the role that Kerrigan is playing can add 3, 4, 5 years of production to their career. And he made it seem like a lot of guys don't accept it. But it makes you wonder, huh, is he thinking in that way of Kerrigan for the next several years when a lot of people feel like it could be the end of the road this season? Major League Baseball came out to say that Justin Turner did break the rules, so we can discuss that. Also hit the leftovers, the news that is broken while we were on the air today. And we'll get you ready for Thursday Night Football, all before we get out of here at the top of the hour. We're Grant and Danny. Final few minutes of Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan, taking you up to 2 o'clock. Pete Medhurst is in on CDVTW today. Pete will be with you in about 12 minutes, right at the top of the hour. Chad, I'm going to be doing something against my better judgment. But more than anything else, I think it's good for business. I think it's good for the show. And I think it's something that if I don't do it now, I'm not going to do it. Okay. Do you want me to tell you what it is, or do you want to play a game tomorrow on the show where people have to guess what it is?
Oh, let's guess. We haven't had a good guessing game in a minute.
Okay.
We haven't had a guessing
game. So we will play that guessing game tomorrow. What am I doing, mostly for the show and a little bit for myself, against my better judgment, coming up in the near future for the first time? And we can play that game. That's right, Tommy. Have your music ready. We could take some calls. It'd be like when the Junkies play Guess the Big News, you know, the Dukes occasionally plays. I remember listening to that years ago as a kid. So that'll be fun. We will do that tomorrow on Grant and Danny. It'll also be a Football Friday. On a Football Friday, we will get you ready for the week. Sans a Washington football game, Danny. So we've got to rank the best games of the weekend, make our against the spread confidence points picks. So we'll do all of that. Before we get to the leftovers and the best of the rest, Thommy, it is your birthday tonight. Danny brought this to our attention earlier in the show. What are your big birthday plans? You got a big meal plan? What are you doing?
Well, you know, there hasn't been a lot of options for old Thom in 2020, but there's a nice little spot called Market at River Falls. Dar and my wife were actually two separate people that told me about this place, They have amazing crab cakes, so I will be getting at least two crab cakes from them this evening for dinner, and that's fine. That's more than fine. It's wonderful.
Delicious.
Wonderful. But you're not – so you're getting them from them, and then you're cooking them at home or just eating them at home?
Yeah, the wife goes, and I believe they do like a half-bake, or maybe like they prepare them so you can cook them at home. So they kind of pack it all together and make it all, you know, the good stuff, fill it with the good stuff. And then you're supposed to cook it at home. So you can do like a half bake or like a completely raw. I'm not sure how it's done. I just know that 7 o'clock it'll be on a plate for me. And that's all that matters.
Well, I'm happy for you that you're eating something delicious. By the way, Danny, that's what in 2020 a birthday has now become. It's just a dinner, honestly. Who's done anything other than just had a decent meal that's a little better than the day before and the day after on their birthday? Who's an adult in the last few months? That's not what a birthday is. And maybe that's always what a birthday is, but it's certainly what it is during the pandemic. Because it's not like you're having the boys over to watch a game. You're eating crab cakes tonight. That's what your birthday is.
Believe me, it's not a problem. I'm all about it. I did also ask for an ice cream cake. I don't think I'm getting that, but I know that the crab cakes are incoming.
Why wouldn't you get an ice cream cake? That's an easy request. That seems very reasonable.
I tend to ask too much. Like, I don't ask for anything on my birthday, but then when someone asks me, what do you want? Then I immediately roll out a nice long list of everything that I would want. And I think that my wife has decided it's just going to be one or two things. So crab cakes are coming. She might have ordered me something online. So I would have to scratch the ice cream cake off the board.
It's too low down the list. All right.
Fudge the whale cake.
We'll ask tomorrow to make sure that he got himself some ice cream cake. I got faith in the wife. I think she's going to come through for him. All right, Danny, a couple of things that came through while we were on the air, the best of the rest to hit some of the leftovers. It looks like Julian Edelman of the Patriots is going to be out after a knee procedure, as if that team could afford to have any more injuries. He's one of the few recognizable names in their passing game. Cam Newton's been dreadful when they have benched him in a couple of games recently and gone to Jarrett Stidham. He has looked awful as well. I think they are in huge trouble. We'll find out for sure this weekend when they're playing a Buffalo team that is not its best version of itself right now. They could save their season. But as of this moment, New England is in peril, it seems.
Dude, they are in deep trouble. So the couple losses they had, one, they're at Seattle, had Seattle dead to rights. I would take that situation every time. Goal to go, greatest goal line back in the world in quarterback Cam Newton. They get stopped. Okay. Then you get a COVID game where he's not there. They get jobbed in a game they absolutely could have won. Okay. All of a sudden, though, they can't get out of their own way. They're a disaster. Offensively, we always knew they'd be somewhat limited. But now defensively, they can't stop anybody. They are taking on water bigly.
Also, we found out today that Gardner Minshew has been playing through multiple thumb fractures that he just suffered. So we'll see what that means for him in the coming weeks. There was already some talk that they could be benching him and going to Mike Glennon, the backup quarterback in Jacksonville. I don't know why they would do that. I would just ride the Minshew train until it collides into the station. Thursday Night Football tonight. Got any feel for the 1-6 Falcons playing much better the last couple weeks? The 3-4 Panthers. They thought they might get Christian McCaffrey back. Word is he is not going to go tonight. I like Carolina in this game, but I actually think it's going to be close and it's going to be good. I'm excited for it.
This is one of those weird hunch games that I have no idea why I think this. I think Atlanta's going to win the game. Because Atlanta's just due to not have an embarrassing meltdown of epic proportion. At some point, they'll do what's bad for the franchise, which in this case is to win the game. Like, it'd be fun if they just kept losing and they could maybe draft another first-round pick for their offense that has a million of them. But I get this weird feeling they're going to win. I have no idea why, though.
You could just chalk it up to the Eric Bickle-Do theory.
Might be. At best. I mean, there's no justifiable reason to pick the Falcons to do anything other than lose in a shocking way.
But it's not like Carolina's great, and it's a division game, and they always play each other, as most division foes do, close. So, yeah, it could absolutely be that way. The Panthers were getting ready to get excited for McCaffrey, a little bit of letdown that he's not there. Davis isn't coming off a strong game. If I could see it, but I do think it's going to be decided by a possession. It will be fun to watch. Thanks for listening. Brent and Danny, TheFanDC.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.